What's happening, guys? Happy Tuesday. And thank you for joining. Another special episode of You're Welcome. You know, what a weekend it was in Miami. And I cannot wait to talk to you all about it coming up on today's show. I'm going to start with Dustin Poirier and the fact that he might be getting a title shot, at least according to the champion himself. All he did is beat Benoit St. Denis. I mean, in all fairness, the guy was ranked number 12. But I'm going to tell you why it matters. Plus, Tom Aspinall has accepted Curtis Blaydes' call-out. And I'm going to talk about what's next for another heavyweight by the name of Francis Ngannou. Lots to get to. Let's start here. Ali Abdelaziz, one of my favorite characters in our entire sport, has come out and he has offered Dustin Poirier a crack at Islam. Now, there's so many things there because Ali will do it if he's asked if it's the right thing to do. Like, if the ranking support at business could be better somewhere else, Ali won't bring it to you. He's going to bring to you what's good for business. But if you bring it to him, he will say yes. When Ali brings you something, he's bringing you what's best for business. And it was very interesting that he brought the idea of Dustin Islam. I mean, I feel as though that is a tip of the hat by Ali. Dustin Poirier, you are a star. Now, I don't think you guys question this. I certainly don't question this. I was with Dustin on Saturday after his victory with people around you chanting his name. I'm telling you, he doesn't know. He does not know where he stands in this industry. And, you know, the ones that find out are the ones that they go turn the gun on the audience. They turn the gun on their sponsors. They turn the gun on the promotion. It ends quickly, right? Everybody's got a window. But the guys that get up in the loft and pull the ladder up behind them or get real proud of themselves, or and you can feel it and you can sense it, their window is smaller. I'm telling you right now, the coolest thing about Dustin Poirier is he has no idea that we all think he's cool. He truly doesn't. Which is the same guy that got into the octagon in the first place. Right? You wonder how you get those same results. Wonder how you stay with that same hunger. It's a very interesting thing. I thought it was a real tip of the hat by Ali saying, I've got the champion. I've got a main eventer. Got the best in the world who's got the heir apparent, the king himself, Khabib, in his corner. And we're looking at you. Dustin, I think that it's very interesting, but I also think it's a lesson for all of you. I have pled with you. I have so many that come to me for wisdom. That makes me feel good. I enjoy when you say that. Probably even more than I do when you say entertainment. I love being viewed as the smartest guy in the room when it comes to sport. I do. And I don't get much resistance from you guys. But you want to know what I've never succeeded at? That I'm all alone. I'm over on third base wearing a catcher's mitt is when I tell you guys rankings don't matter. And I never say it and leave it there. I then do the same routine I'm about to do right now. That's a broad stroke statement. But I was there the day they created rankings. For this sport, the day they implemented would be the correct word. And when that decision was made, it was to create controversy for talking heads like me. Do you know that term? Do you know the term talking head? You can watch a Schwarzenegger movie, you're going to have all these action scenes, and it's going to cut. It's going to take 3 months to make, and they're going to edit it, and they're going to have $20 million budget. When you come to sports channels, you have a head. That's it. You have a head on screen. The guy could be sitting here with his pants off. You wouldn't know. Production is so low, you wouldn't know. But then that head talks. And that's the show. They call it a show. Okay, great. Talking heads, they want to do rankings for so talking heads could have controversy. Whenever you have people judging people, you have controversy. There is nothing in the world more unfair than people judging people. So, a little harder for me to respect the rankings than perhaps you. But next in line is that I'm a historian. I could just cite you examples. Any argument that I make for you, I will then cite you the examples that led me to the conclusion that I then come and share with you. And where this all ties in is Dustin Poirier is so red hot right now. I can't say he won the night. That is the most loaded card I have ever seen. 300 might beat it by the time 300. I haven't seen 300 yet. Neither have you, right? This is the most loaded card I have ever seen. You want a fun stat? Take the guys on the card, 11 fights. There was 57 main events between them. Have I just proved my point to you about how loaded this card was? My producer, Ryan, his jaw just dropped. There was 50. Is that a great stat or what? I got that from Andrew at ESPN. I got to give him that one. There was 57 main events. And guess what for 300? You want to play this game? At 300, there's 74 main events between them on that roster. I tell you that because I can't tell you Dustin won the day. He came in second to O'Malley. But when you come in second on a card like that, it's a very big deal. And now you've got the top manager in the world. If I asked you to name three managers, you couldn't do it. You might get another name out. You might know to say Malky. You might know to say Tiki. But you wanted to know to say Malky and Tiki. You know Ali Abdelaziz. You know Ali Abdelaziz, whether you can say his name any easier than I can or not. And he has come out and he has proven my point. Okay? Which is rankings don't matter. Why would Dustin get a title fight? According to you guys. According to you that argue with me about how important a ranking is. Why would Dustin, who's 1-1 in his last two, get a title shot? Why would Dustin, who's ranked number 3 and just beat number 13, get a title shot? Who else beat a number 13 and cruised into a title shot? Who else beat somebody behind them, let alone 10 spots? My producers tell me it's 9, and he is right. Dustin's number 3. Saint Denis was number 12. I stand by my point. I remember when Daniel Cormier finally got his title shot. He fought Pat Cummins, who had new ranking. It was Pat's debut. He debuted. Daniel looked great. High pressure. We respect that. Whether the odds makers or the rankings understand, we understand the pressure and the courage it takes to do what Daniel did against a former training partner, Pat Cummins. We understand the pressure it takes for Dustin Poirier, who's 35, same age as Volkanovski, to take on a 20-year-old, real close to the same age as Topuria. I mean, we did like there's numbers. There's just things you got to look at. Dustin took that fight on 6 weeks' notice. It was closer to 5.5, just to remind you guys. Odds makers were against him 2-1. I barked and barked and complained, and guess what? It moved even further. Ended up being plus 220. Did you guys know that? It got worse. The day of the fight, it was 2-1 when we went to bed. It went another 20 points. I mean, I'm just sharing with you. We understood the pressure. We understood 5 rounds. We understood essentially your hometown, which is not an advantage. It's an advantage in every other sport except this one. And now the manager of Islam has offered that spot to Dustin. They were planning to take on the winner of Oliveira. I have a hard time. I don't want to be condescending. I have a hard time saying Oliveira's opponent's name. I will get that down. That's a miss, though. That's a huge miss. Oliveira does not want that fight. So making to spruce in 300 by making Aram and Oliveira a number one contenders match is a mistake. It's a mistake that you just made last year. Stop making this mistake. But before we get to that, 300 is not here yet. Islam's looking for a partner. Ali put an offer out there. Ali would never put that out if he didn't mean it. Never in a million years. He put something out to get his own guy's name out there. He didn't get his own guy's name out there. He got Dustin's name out there. Ali means it. I thought we were all looking at Justin versus Max. I thought Justin was the number one contender. Now, I understand he's got himself a title fight. It's for the BMF title. I do get those kinds of things. But just so you guys understand, Justin Gaethje is represented by Ali. So Ali, knowing there could be, just went basically to the enemy of his own client to offer him a title shot. Now, I don't want to get into whether you guys want to see that or where that all goes. I just want to reprove the point. Stop talking about the rankings. If you ever find yourself saying that's what makes sense, but you don't say that's what makes sense as a way of doing something. You say that's what makes sense as a way of then not doing something. Well, it's the only thing that makes sense. I have never heard a fighter, and it might have happened, but this is a literal statement. Since 1993, I've never heard a fighter say this is the only thing that makes sense and be right. Just so you know, if you get a phone call with a suggestion from Dana or Mick or Hunter or Sean or Chael, one of the power brokers in this industry, one of the five of us calls you and offers you a match. We have decided it made sense. We don't need your opinion. Just so you know, I'm trying to be polite about this. Once, when the phone call, do all the negotiate, go back and forth, play the media, get in the politics, respect you if you even understand how to do that game, let alone you do it well. When one of the five of us calls you, we've decided what makes sense. I've told you this before. Ali has helped me to prove this point again. Tough situation. Production team turned in a topic today. I overlooked it and I was going to go. The reason I'm in a tough situation, the topic was simply St. Denis coming out and talking about the loss. Said I wasn't able to express myself fully. Talked about what happened. My mind was there, my body was not. And he was talking about the antibiotic that he used to answer for the staph infection that we all became aware that he had. So the reason I wasn't going to speak on it, I don't know how to share my thoughts on that without giving St. Denis a hard time. And I want to give him a hard time. First off, he fought awesome. He was one of the performances of the night. He, right there, outcome of the night went to Poirier. The performance of the night? He outperformed Poirier. He outperformed about everybody. He had a 12 ranking taking on the number 3 guy. I mean, a 9 spot discrepancy. And had won every round. It was a wonderful performance. So, I suppose my first reaction was just to make sure I explained to you guys what he's referencing. I do feel that he started us off on second base. So, somewhere in the week, picture comes out, and St. Denis got a hole in his head, right? I mean, if there's ever been an excuse to take an antibiotic, he's got a hole in his head. I am callous to skin infections. I see them all the time. As a coach, I mean, we get them on 7, 8, 9-year-old kids. So when I see it, I know he's got a staph infection. At the same time, when I talk about being a coach, a number of the athletes who we will have that get rushed in for staph infection. 2 days on antibiotics, you're no longer contagious, right? I'm repeating what the experts say. I can tell you firsthand that is beyond false, but per the rules, if you want to be able to suit up and get on the mat, you can show that you got 48 hours of antibiotics in you. They will clear you. You will spread it to everybody at the time. But this is the rule. All right, just hear me out. And I can tell you, we've had a lot of athletes get put on some pretty strong stuff, and it changes them. They come out the other side as very strong. You can also set staff aside completely if you would like. When I'm teaching these younger boys as they're coming up, they go through puberty. And they will get acne. We will going to a dermatologist. They will get on an acne medication. All of a sudden, they can't breathe through the third round. And I'll know every time. I'll look at the zit face. Cassie, you went to a dermatologist, didn't you? Yeah. You got put on an antibiotic about 9 days ago, didn't you? I mean, I could just call it. Yeah, I did. I sure did. Okay, it was this one, wasn't it? Great. Call him back. Tell him you need this one, and here's why. So I'm just sharing with you. Moicano is the one that notices. Moicano put this out in a tweet. But Moicano, with a language discrepancy, did not explain to you, the audience, why an antibiotic that would be required for a skin clearance by the Florida State Athletic Commission, in this case, for a staph infection, could be damning to the performance. So I came out and did it. I responded to Moicano's Twitter story. But aside from that, there is nothing anywhere out there, nothing. And there's always the chance that I'm just off the pole, I'm off base, that you all know that an antibiotic is required for staph, and moreover, that an antibiotic can affect your cardio. Maybe you all know that, but I don't think so. There's not very many sports that are even cardio sports. There's not very many times where that be tested. I don't think that that's a known story. So, there's no way around the fact that there is now an excuse being made. And that is never that I've seen a good look, for a couple of reasons. I've never seen the audience accept that and go, oh, I see. Throw that one. I think that might matter. Throw it out like it didn't happen. I don't see anything bad that comes from the performance. I mean, if we're being fair, then you're going to concede to what I said. St. Denis outperformed Poirier. Poirier got the outcome, but the performance, who looked and fought, showed more positions, won more exchanges, started more action, pressed the action, did more damage. I mean, you go right up and down the list. Had that fight been stopped and it turned to the judges, right? It was one of these situations. Poirier was going to win that fight one way at that point, which was to get him out of there. So, what I'm saying is to cover for something, right? Everybody else that fought that night fought for 15 minutes. This was not a title fight, but these guys were scheduled beyond 15 minutes. Well, if we would have taken it to 15 minutes and turned it in, the very thing that we saw would have a very different result. I'm sharing with you. I don't know what St. Denis needs to speak of. And then somebody like him, who is an equivalent to a Navy SEAL, what he's been, they're just not known for excuses, which is why I don't want to call it out. I really don't want to call it out right now. But there's more to the story. And the more to the story, when I tell you, I've never seen somebody after the fact use an excuse and have it work. Like, there are some commissions you can do anything you want. In the state of Nevada will never do anything if they are not given an immense amount of press back, which it has to be so immense by the media that it gets to the governor, who instructs them to do something. You can do anything. People defraud the Nevada Commission on a monthly basis, and it has never, that's a zero, not a broad, it has never been called out. So when I see guys that make an excuse, right, the big one is some kind of a medical infraction. My arm was broken. We've had guys with broken arms. They then put out x-rays that are dated prior to the fight. They knew they had a broken arm going in. When they lose the fight, then they let you know, but then they're really into posting and proving it, which is fraudulent beyond all get out. Their license would have to, when you sign under penalty of perjury, that you are not hiding any injury, and then you come out to disclose that you were. And I'm telling you, in the state of, you could do that all day long. It is insurance fraud on top of other crimes, but they will do nothing. So now you're in Florida. Florida has a hard and fast rule that it be disclosed. It does not have to be a PED. I know that you believe that. I know that the media tells you that. I know that members of the Florida Commission believe that's what their rule says, but their rule doesn't say that. So, did he disclose on his form the antibiotic that he's on? He might have. Sure, he might have. If he did it, it was probably because of just a misunderstanding. Either way, it doesn't need to come up. It absolutely doesn't need to be out. Now, somebody could go back and check that form. They wouldn't do that for the loser. They don't care if the result gets changed for the loser. But I'm just sharing with you. I don't know why you put yourself in that position. Then, moreover, there's another misunderstanding about lists. And you misunderstand it because you got it from the media, and the media doesn't understand it. Peds are not against the rules. Non-peds are not allowed. At least, not if you stop right there. It requires another level of research. Not all peds are banned. And not everything that's banned is a ped. There is a number of antibiotics, believe it or not, that have, and you got to go a step further though, that have an active ingredient that is banned, that is not a ped in the least. In fact, it could even harm your condition. It could actually hurt you. It's still banned. And when they can't ever explain why something is banned, like there's no justification, they have a way out the same way they take every time, which is to say it could perhaps be used as a masking agent, we're told. And there's never another question asked. So I only share with you, was the medication disclosed? If it was, is it on the banned list? Now, it would take somebody an ability to have to want to do something about that, of which they would never do for the guy that lost. But it still creates a scenario that you've now done to yourself. And that's the part where I get confused. That's the part where I never understand why somebody would give information, particularly medical, that could go against themselves. And there is zero chance that Benoit is, like, let me just lay this out for you. Why Benoit and his team are watching this guy, screw Chael, he didn't know what he's talking about. Yeah, I actually know everything I'm talking about, and you did none of those things. You never once took that antibiotic and juxtaposed it against your new testing agency. Never. You didn't even know that the name of the antibiotic doesn't matter in terms of the active ingredient. You didn't even know to do that level of research. You did not go to Novinsky, who would have done all of that research for you. You didn't go to the testing company that would have sent you something in writing and would clear you had you ever failed. You didn't know it at all. And you don't know right now if your guy put that down on the form, if he even understood the question in a language that isn't foreign to him. Like, there's a number of reasons that would have been missed. It's still against the rules. Then, if it doesn't show up in his post-fight urine sample, he's now already said that he took it. Mirko Krokop served a suspension for a substance he said he had, and the test said, no, you don't. It's one of these, like, there's things here that just never needed to be done. And I didn't want to make the peace. I wanted to get up, and I wanted to walk out. But I'm making the peace as a way of educating you and letting you know why you never give an opponent information. And you all know that. You never do that before battle. You never reveal your game plan. You'd cut somebody right out of your inner circle if they revealed your game plan. But when the battle is done, those rules still apply. And I'm just telling you the truth, which is to find out a guy with a military background who should have read the books and participated in writing some of the chapters of these books broke the rule against himself. I was literally stunned. Lost in translation here. So, Volk, one of my favorite fighters, put out an interview, and it was in response to O'Malley calling out Ilia Topuria, just so you understand the context. Volk said, well, I'm next. I know I'm next. Now, oh, he's got my attention now. Because that sounds like he's about to reveal inside information, a behind-the-scenes conversation and or negotiation. And by the way, Volk does not strike any of us as the kind of guy that's going to start bluffing. So he's got my attention. Volk, then, I'm reading the interview. See, so when I tell you we're lost in translation, I'm reading the interview. Volk then says to Sean, just kind of speaks to him directly, hey, Sean, if you're going to get that one, you better slip it in soon, because I know I'm next later this year, whenever it is, but I know I'm next. Okay, great. Now you've lost me. Wait a second. If Sean, even if we're being figurative, but if Sean can slip it in, then you're admitting you're not next. So is the translation simply, I know what's next for me? When and if I return? Because somewhere within this, he also said he was going to take a little bit of a break, which sounds good. Like everything there, right? This isn't meant to be a gotcha moment by me. This is me saying, hey, if there's any chance that Volk sees this, you could just get him to clarify. And that's also a way to speak, though. Hey, I know I know what's next for me at Title Shot. That's also a way to speak, right? That's not a commitment and or a promise. It just can be. So which one was it? And then when I do look at that, Sean and Taporia, I'm very comfortable in telling you, has no chance of being next for Ilya Taporia and Sean O'Malley. There's not a time throughout history where you can go champion versus champion without a whole bunch of work done and a whole bunch of questions answered by both people. So Taporia, because he's yet to defend, just by example. Or Sean, because he's now defended once, just by example. But, I mean, it doesn't completely disqualify it. You're still going to be, as much as you want to laugh at it or dismiss it if you're a hater, or as much as you want to say, yeah, let's go and make it if you're it's a big fight guy and we could do an arena in Spain. Before we get there with your projections based on nothing, you do want to ask, if you're being a reasonable person in the room, what's a better idea? And you're going to have to come up with two. I think you have one for Sean. I think you have Merab. But I don't know of the one for Ilya. In fact, with Volk being the only guy claiming dibs that I'm aware of, the promotion did not speak on it. Now, the belief, and I was in Anaheim, I called Ilya Taporia versus Volk for the post-fight show, which means we are called upon to at least make a guess of where we go from here. And my guess at that time, at least internally, was we will not give this to Volk tonight because next week in Mexico City is Rodriguez versus Ortega, which if we could create the belief as a number one contenders match, we add to that. If we give it to Volk tonight, we take away any ability. I just remember having this thought. Volk has now had his say that he would like Taporia. He said that after we woke him up. Ortega and or Rodriguez will have their say on Taporia, and they're going to say it after a victory. We're going to have to wait and see what happens. I just remember having that thought. But that victory went to Ortega, and Ortega didn't even want his hands raised. He was in such a spirit and a mindset. He wanted the sportsmanship and respect. It was really a big part of him that night, and he is yet to call for a title shot. Nobody at 45 has called for a title shot. Now, I think things can change very quickly. I mean, we get through 300. Let's just say Max wins. He becomes the BMF. He takes that. He goes back down to 45 like he says he's going to do. All of a sudden, you've got a pretty meaningful conversation. Let's say Aljo comes into the division, has a great performance with Cater. Not to mention Cater over Aljo, perhaps the same thing. But Aljo with a great performance. Now all of a sudden you got some pretty viable options. Now all of a sudden you're looking around, and maybe we are just going to wait that long. But Ilya Taporia seems to be okay with that. He hasn't said anything. And if Taporia and Sean can get going after each other in just the right way before anybody else interrupts, they could build some real headwind. I don't think that's going to happen. I think that Sean is going to fight Merab. I don't at all think O'Malley and Topuria are going to have, at all. I know they could, but if I was to lay out for you what would need to be done by both sides, I would then be, if I said it is going to happen, I would then be predicting that they're both going to do it. I don't think so. I think that's what he wants to do. He's made it known that he's going to go take on Merab. Look, this is what the rankings say. This is what you guys say. He's sitting right there. He stole my coat a little bit ago. I haven't forgotten about it. I already beat his teammate. Bring him on. Let me get this done with him. I mean, that seems to also be on O'Malley's mind. Interesting. I just think it's an interesting time. I think it's an interesting spot. If Volk does have or believes he has a verbal agreement in place, if he wouldn't mind sharing, maybe that was his attempt to share right there. I'm letting him know it was unclear. Could you clarify that? And if that isn't the case and he's holding out and just think that's next. Right, I mean, there's a realisticness we have to come to as well. There's just a realisticness. Volk was 35 at the time of that fight. And if you wait, I mean, right, weight and title shot have never gone together. Now, Volk's level of dominant, I mean, Volk's a different deal. I'm not turning on him at all. I'm just sharing for you whether Volk wanted to tell me or not. If he could just tell me if he plans to wait and get a title shot, I'll have my answer right there. He won't need to say any more than that. I'll say, oh, gotcha, Volk. Gotcha. Like, right, it'll be one of those things. And then eventually he'll catch up with the same thing. So, I like the interview. I like hearing from Volk. I think he's a lot of fun. But I left there a little bit confused. You got clarity. I would appreciate it. Guys, outdoor concert and festival season is upon us. And it will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your one-stop shop for your head-to-toe attire needs. One of my favorite smells is fresh leather on a new pair of boots. Man, there's just something about being able to smell high quality with your own nose. You ever walked into the store? You know exactly what I'm talking about. I was so impressed when I found out all Tecovas boots are made by hand. In a time-honored tradition, my wife, Miss Brittany, recently picked out a new pair for me, and I gotta say, I experienced an instant upgrade in my mood and my style. By the way, I always go with a rounded tip boot, no flat tip. It's more of a classic style. That's personal. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary beverage or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it to the store, just visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas, Tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to Tecovas.com and find your favorite pair of boots today. Oh, Tom Aspinall got tested on Saturday, whether you know it or not, and he passed that test. Now, let's back up. If there's one thing that Curtis Blaydes is going to give you unexpectedly, it's a meaningful and successful call out, right? None of you predicted that. But Curtis Blaydes went for it. And I've never understood where the disconnect with the community and Curtis has come from. I've even asked you guys, hey, don't tell me you don't like him. You don't. And here's my proof as to how I know you don't like Curtis. I lay out my whole case of all the great things that Curtis has done. Other guys have taken a similar path, which there's very few. I mean, Curtis has shown a path of courage. He fights Francis when nobody else will, loses in 28 seconds, begs to fight him again. They tell him yes, but at short notice and he's got to go to a different continent. He did it. Loses even faster the second time and begs to fight him a third time. I mean, those are the kinds of guys that historically have always gotten behind. So Curtis does a call out of Tom. And good for Curtis for doing it. Curtis said we have unfinished business. Interesting. I can't give that a problem. That's not what I would have advised him, but I can't give him a problem with that. That's a story. That'll make people ask. And I'm a hardcore. So I can't say that he did it wrong. I would have liked if it was just a little bit more direct with exactly what happened. I mean, it's almost a riddle that you've got to solve. But Curtis went to Tom's home. Was the underdog and was done in victory in 22 seconds. Tom went on to a sold-out Madison Square Garden and a championship of the world, which now also gives him a new contract that has a clause that calls for participation. The only way you can get rich in this sport. There's only one way. If there's a dream, everything's a dream. There's one way you must have in your contract participation within the pay-per-view, which is a beyond generous thing for a company to do, but this company does it. Four champions defending. Tom is now a champion who will be defending. I mean, I'm just bringing that to you, and I would like, and if Curtis then went even further to say, and here I am on an undercard. I think he really would have made a powerful case to get Tom to have to respond. Well, Curtis didn't do that. He called it unfinished business, but he still got Tom to respond. Tom said yes. And that's where Tom was being tested. You never say no. You never say no. You never find a reason. You never, ever say no. When you have a guy, let's say there's a gap and it's a ridiculous call out. Don't ever say there's a gap, I'm too famous or I'm ranked too high. Whatever your case is, don't say, you say yes. Then if you're right about the case, if you're right that there's a gap too big, if you're right that there's a popularity and or a ranking, the second floor at the UFC will figure that out. You won't have to do anything. All you ever do is say yes. But I didn't know if Tom would pass that test, and he did. Oh, he passed. Oh, gosh, he passed it so well. I have been so impressed with Tom Aspinall as a human, but also as a champion. I don't know if you have a champion in the UFC who has provided better leadership. I get that he's a very new champion. I get that it's an interim champion. I get that he hasn't had a ton of time to go screw things up. But he's had enough time to end up on TMZ. He's had enough time to be out on the town past midnight where nothing good happens. He's had enough time to back down and renegotiate with the company and tell us all what a big deal he is. But he hasn't done any of those things, and he just passed a big test. He told Curtis Blaydes yes. Now, how does Curtis actually make that happen? Because it's a very interesting opportunity Curtis is in. He went for a call out, which isn't like him. And he got it. He got it. He got the champion of the world to tell him yes. I mean, we're all done here. In the world of, was it a good call out? We can go back and forth, but there is a litmus test. I mean, you can bumble and stumble. You can do it in sign language if you want. You can put it on a pigeon or send it in a fax. If you get the champion, in fact, let's back it down from there. If you get the person you called out to accept the call, you did it. Right? You don't need to hear from the expert in the room. Now, why can't they make that fight? See, and this is the part where Curtis has got to figure out. Why can't they make that? Seems to make sense. They already fought once. It sold out the arena. So we know there's places we can go that people are interested. I beat him. Curtis, you stay right there. He's going to stay right there if he's in the mind of the decision maker. What if I do beat him? Is me beating him the problem to me getting an opportunity to face him? And if it is, then that, now that he's got the yes from Tom, Curtis needs to go full speed ahead on solving that problem. Is there somebody somewhere that could interfere with me getting my interim title shot with Tom that is worried about the consequence if I come out the other side, which means do I draw well into John Jones? And once Curtis sees the problem, which I just identified, he needs to go full speed into John Jones. Leave Tom out of it. Brought Tom in. Tom said, yes, Leave him out of it. Tom's not going to go back to you, Curtis. Believe me, as soon as that contract is signed, he's going to be talking about John Jones. And I just thought Curtis did a really good job. I don't know where he doesn't get his credit. I really don't. Tom Aspinall, our champion of the world, just gave it to him. It was a good thing to see. It was the right thing to see. It was a cool moment. And Tom Aspinall has really only spoke about one guy. I don't know if you guys have paid close enough attention. And Tom didn't say, I want to fight Almeida. He didn't say that, but he laid out the division with him as he's at the top of it. He is at the top. Before you even blink John Jones in, John Jones has said what I'm saying. John Jones told Tom, don't let me hold you up. Do not wait for me. I'm going over here and I might not go anywhere. Like, John has let him know. So you are the guy, man. Go do your thing, run your career, and don't let me slow you down. So it's a very big deal. And Tom has only spoke about one guy. He didn't say, I'm fighting Almeida next. He didn't do that. But Tom very clearly stared at that division and was impressed with Almeida. He very clearly, if you listen to Tom's interviews, right, it's not always what he says. You got to hear what Tom also doesn't say. And if you haven't heard those interviews, then just take it from me. When Tom looked at the division, the guy he thought that was going to be the cream that rises to the top was Almeida. That's who Tom personally was watching. And Tom within him doesn't believe in avoiding the hard fights. Tom within him believes this is a competition before it is entertainment. And you take on the right guy. He thought that Almeida was going to be and proved to be the right guy. So I give you that because it's fair play. You look at Curtis, we got some unfinished business, as he chose to word it. You also beat the guy I thought was the guy. Curtis stepped up, said he's not going to fight Surreal. And that surprised me. I mean, one good win on an undercard. I you're not in a position to start telling us who you're not going to fight, but Curtis laid out his case, and now I'm with him. He said that I offered that to Surreal. That ship has sailed. I'm not going to do that now. Now, I also get that that can be a way of getting it, or you change your mind the next day. But let's not take it with a grain of salt. Let's just take one quick look at that. Because Thomas said the same thing about Surreal. Now, I didn't know that Curtis had gone after Surreal. I didn't know that. I watched Tom. I'm glad Tom is saying no. Right? I mean, after Tom sat in the front row and laid that out, Surreal didn't take it. I mean, I'm just saying in all fairness. But why is nobody going after Surreal? Is he more scary than I think? Is he more dangerous than I think? And Surreal isn't going after anybody else. I mean, there are other answers, which is he's a nice guy and everybody likes him. I don't know Surreal, but he does come across as a pretty cool guy and everybody does seem to like him. But if they're not calling you out, it's kind of your job. Somebody's got to get this going. Surreal's ranked very high off the top of my head. I believe he's number 2. I believe Blades is number 5. Somebody's got to get that going. Blades and Aspinall say they'll fight each other. They say they won't fight Surreal. It's a good place to start. Surreal can either disrupt that or go in a different direction. Or he can sit there and do nothing. Eventually, his phone will ring. There's a few ways to do your career. If I was the heavyweight's number one guy, their former champion, I would not be choosing the latter of those options. Ngannou, what do you do? What do you do? You are Francis's manager. Your job as his manager is to get him a job. What do you do? Now, you have a very lazy approach, which is, well, you know, we could box again, or we go over and do MMA. Got a contract. MMA got an agreement to box. You're going to find out when you finally arrogantly and misplacedly make those phone calls that you don't have either. I'm going to say, sure, I got a contract right here. Yeah, but do you understand from a business perspective the bet that the PFL made? Because as time goes on, it looks better and better. I mean, there is a very good vision, and there's very smart guys at the PFL. But you need a little bit of time, right? They don't come out and tell you. You come out and you second-guess their decision. They don't then come out and tell you why they made it. They let you just think that. But now that it's been a while, we're starting to understand that the PFL made a bet. And you can be pessimistic or you can be optimistic. They are optimistic. They said, all right, Francis is not worth $5 million today. Now you tell a guy he's not worth something, starts to hurt his feelings. You got a spread you can cover. Can we cover it with him or not? Oh, and by the way, now we got to do $2 million to the partner. I got to come up with $7 million for that fight. He's not worth that today. But he has some very exciting things coming up before tomorrow. He's going to fight Fury. And we have inside information that the WBO is going to sanction it for Fury's title. Which means when Francis does come to us and it's time for us to act on the $7 million buy we got, we're going to have the WBO reigning heavyweight champion, perhaps. Perhaps. Perhaps we don't. Now, if the don't side of it comes, we don't have to do anything. If the does side of it comes and he chooses to not come with us, we got to give him that flexibility. And you know what else? We're willing to give you $2 million to sign this contract, which just gives us the ability that should you, by tomorrow, be worth far more than you on today, we have dibs. You look back at what the PFL did in terms of their mindset, and you just say, oh, I get it now. I get it now. Okay. But you do need to understand it's a two-way street, right? This the same as the story has been told to the public, that Francis will decide if he's coming back to MMA or boxing. Those are polite people that are allowing the story to be told that way. I'm just sharing with you. If he comes back and says, I want to do MMA, you now those polite people that let the story be told one way will quietly, behind the scenes, let you know, we don't have anything for you right now. You put us in a very hard spot. This contract that we did was based on you beating Fury and being a WBO champion. We're in the exact opposite spot. You are a greater value when you were the UFC champion who never lost the belt as to what you are today. Now, guys, I'm not giving Ngannou a hard time. Not at all. Not at all. We got to really recognize the situation. And one of the first things you have to do is recognize, I had some nice guys letting me tell a story a certain way in the media. Let me recheck my brain to know what reality is versus what was said, because you can get lost real fast, right? Okay. Let's juxtapose that over to boxing. I mean, that was the story leading up until 3 days ago. Said he will choose whether he's going to box or he's going to do MMA. Is boxing still an option? That I couldn't fully speak and tell you. To get sanctioning by the WBO for a title match, no, it's no longer an option. But could you still go and box? I mean, I'm not ready to tell you. Because it's a very different model and objective and plan. Now, I could answer it if you fit. Could you come and box in North America? No. Could you come and box in Las Vegas and expect to sell out a crowd? No. Could you go and box in New York City and expect to fill a house at the Garden? No. I'm pretty comfortable in telling you that boxing is removed for now, that there's going to have to be something between. Well, what could that be? There's only one option, which is MMA. Is MMA an option? And that's where it starts. So all I asked you guys 5 minutes and 22 seconds ago is, what would you do? Now, I'm starting to give you some of the pieces. I'm starting to let you know some of the headwinds. It was real easy a week ago when you were the decision makers. You had two different avenues, both on pay-per-view. Both where you were perceived to be king. But now there's certain headwinds, right? That's life. No problem. What would you do? I would have done it different. Francis tweeted out, And guys are just, they're just compelled to make a statement. Francis had said that he had a hard day at the office. In the same way that he had a compulsion to type that, I had the same compulsion, but I had the sportsmanship tonight. I never kick a guy when he's down, but you know how hard it was to not respond to that tweet? I had a hard day at the office. You know how hard it was for me to not push go on the message I typed out that said, you weren't in an office. That's the concussion speaking. You got knocked out in a boxing ring. Like, do you know how difficult that was for me to not do? It's very hard to have a reality of the situation. It's so hard. Your phone call, everything you do, you're this star, right? It's hard. It's hard to understand. More people saw your tweet than watched or stole streams to that fight. That's hard to know. It's hard when you walk out there and you think you're the world's biggest star to just simply look left and right and see that the building I'm in right now is not sold out. Like, it's hard to do. But if it were me, particularly being armed with the fact that nobody watched this, I'm going to tweet out two words to start things. Early stoppage. Point one. Right out of the gate. Now, I am a performer, so I might have then followed that up with a little bit of a video questioning and explaining to all of you how clearly the judges and the official are not sophisticated enough in this sport to understand my strategies. Laid out, how about sprung up getting ready to pounce all over that bum when you stepped in and waved it off? How about that for starters? I would have taken it from a very different approach. Now, I am a heel, and heels lie. So what would have been a different perspective. But I now have a big gust of headwind right in my face. But I'm not alone, though I seem alone. Because remember that contract I explained to you that guarantees me $5 million? It guarantees my opponent, too, who has already been picked and who's really hoping it happens. So while it seems that I'm alone, I've actually got a partner out there somewhere who wants this story to be salvaged and saved even worse than I do. So my manager, behind the scenes, need to call his manager and find out how we put Humpty Dumpty back together again. But I will tell you guys, it's been 4 or 5 days. It already feels different to me. I mean, I must tell you, it really does. Like that, from a competitive standpoint, was as bad as it gets, right? We're 3 minutes into the fight. Okay, great. We've been knocked down one time for every minute. 3 minutes into a fight. I never touched him. It wasn't just he never touched you that didn't hurt, right? He never touched him in the face. Joshua touched his body. He never touched his face that didn't put him down. But he never got touched. There was not a strike landed. Again, I don't say this to be a jerk. I'm sharing with you, this is as bad as it gets. It already feels different. Like, I don't really know what we thought Francis was going to do. There's an entire other side, which is the courage of Francis. I mean, this was a boyhood dream and he got an opportunity. And yeah, sure, they threw him a whole jackpot full of money. Francis won me over that he was sincere. I don't think he would have had to have that jackpot full of money. I think he knew fighting world champions of boxing pays. But you know, what's he rumored to have brought in? About $30 million? That is not what he's been brought in. But is that the rumor out there? Is $30 million? I don't think he needed 30 to go and do that, just to share with you. I think he really was pursuing a childhood dream. I think there's an honor in that, particularly when your dream is that courageous. Everybody's got a dream to go attend the World Series and sit near the dugout. Everybody's got a dream to sit shotgun in a NASCAR for a warm-up lap. I mean, I think that there was an honor in what Francis set out to do, to a degree. And I think that story can be salvaged. I think just with a little bit of time, which is where we're at, it has been. We know that time heals all wounds. I'll just give you a great example. One of the bigger announcements in boxing right now is that Mike Tyson is returning. But that's proof that time heals all wounds. What boxer do you know that got a main event coming off a draw against a guy three weight classes below him? It's simply never happened. But there's been time between the Roy Jones match and now. I don't know how Mike's career ended. I can't remember because it was a long time ago. But I want to say there was four losses in a row. There was something about four. Maybe his last fight, he got knocked out in the fourth round. Or maybe there was something about a four that I'm kind of remembering. But who else do you know that had four losses in a row, then a draw with a guy, three weight classes below, that then main evented? It's not something special or because he's Mike Tyson or because we all love it. Time, guys. I'm just trying to prove that point. Time will heal all wounds. We've only had 4 to 5 days on Francis. It already does feel a little bit different. And there's a story that I do feel that Francis needs to tell. And it was not done at the post-fight press conference. Saying, I don't know, and not my day, and I... For $20 million, every goddamn day is your day. You need to understand that right now. I see athletes come out to the people and then try to act like they're one of the people. Right? The people worked hard to have the money and plan to set aside time to give to somebody who's going to give that money to you and time that I'm never going to get back. Right? Like, the people have a right to have a bad day. They get up and try them 365 days a year, minus holidays and weekends. You went to work twice in the last 2 years, and you made $30 million. Okay, I mean, you're still going to have a bad day. I'm just sharing with you. But that is not, I had a bad day. Wasn't my day. It's got to be your day. It has to be your day. Or if you want to be just like me, you're giving me the answer. If I don't have a day, I don't come back tomorrow. I'm now fired. Are you willing to take that too? Because if you are, I'll get up and walk out of the room. I'm not going to kick you while you're down. All right, guys, that's it for today's episode. Thank you for listening. And remember that if you would like to support me and the show, you can leave me a review on Apple Podcasts. I love reading what you all have to say about this wonderful program. I'm going to be back for more on Friday, everybody. Until then, I'm Chael Sonnen, and you are welcome.